You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Turn on the Jets Digital Presents Draft Season. As you can tell, I am not Michael Megan. He just pinch hit for me last week. I am back, migraine free and all. It is your moderator, D.A. Osorio, joined as always by the Legion of Boom, James Koontz and Joseph Bella. Guys, how are you doing?
Feeling good, D.A. Missed you last week. We had a great time with Meeks, but it's nice to have our fearless leader back, man.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same. For you guys that have never seen us, Michael Megan and I could not be further opposite in terms of complexion, height, and I am a father and he is not. So if I sound a little tired, it's probably because my soon-to-be three-year-old daughter is driving me nuts. But thank you guys for tuning in. Obviously, this is episode 8 of season 6 of draft season, and we are joined by the son of Odin himself. Thor Dystrup. Thor, how are you doing, my brother? Thank you for joining us this Sunday.
It's great to be here. Just living the dream, boys. We flipped the calendar to draft season. Let's talk some prospects. It's a fun time of the year.
It is. It is. And, you know, it's great because it's literally right after Christmas. So Christmas has been extended a little bit, right? Things will look a little different this year with no private workouts. The combine's going to look a little weird. But that doesn't mean that there's not stuff to talk about. So I'm gonna jump right in with you, brother. The New York Jets. You know, we are Jet fans, and we're sitting.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's hopefully it is the only loss that we are known for going forward. Now that we've hired who I think is going to be a good head coach, and Joe Douglas seems to know what he's doing. But they're sitting at the number 2 pick. There's a lot of rumors going around. You know, you hear Deshaun Watson's names. Matt Stafford's going to be out of Detroit now. All these things. But tell me. Is there, outside of the Trevor Lawrence, because there's you know, it seems he's going to go first to Urban Meyer and Trent Baalke, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Wilson, who do you think is the best fit for the New York Jets at number 2? And just what are your thoughts on the quarterback class outside of Lawrence?
Yeah, just me personally, for me, it would be Fields or trade down. And that includes the veteran options. Watson is going to cost a prohibitive amount, right? I mean, they're probably going to ask for Darnold and what, 3 first rounders and maybe plus, you know, you might have to toss in a couple second rounders as well. That's the kind of thing that leverages the entire, you know, you're talking about all the equity of your franchise, what you have to spend on bringing new talent. And it seems like the Jets have too many issues to sink that into one player. I think probably the better, the better course of action here, just sit in the number 2 slot. If you want to take that guy, take Justin Fields, who has been ubiquitously comped at this point to Deshaun Watson. The other option would be, you know, and I'm not in the building. I liked Darnold okay coming out his class, although I did rank him 4th in among the quarterbacks at the Big 5 that year. Did they view him as the guy? That's question number 1. Going forward. And then question number 2 is, what are you getting offered? You know, I think that's a thing from the outside that we don't know. It's obviously a big difference between whether a team is going to offer the Jets a high second round pick and a mid third round pick or an early 4th round pick. There's a huge difference in what they could be offered. So you're going to have to weigh all those different things. They have a lot of balls in the air, but for me, it would be Fields or trade down. I don't know what you guys think, but that's what I would do. I wouldn't pay up for Stafford either, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so we're all 3 of us have Justin Fields as our quarterback too. I think that, and I'll be honest, for me, and we were talking about this before you came on, I do not like changing rankings on players off of 1 game or off of 2 games. I think that the body of work should speak for itself, right? And I think for me, Fields' body of work is incredibly impressive over the last 2 years, right? And I think that in any other class, it's interesting that you mentioned the Darnold class. I had Sam Darnold ranked 4th also. I had him ranked 4th out of the Big 5. I think Justin Fields in any other class without Trevor Lawrence in it is probably the top quarterback in that class, because
for sure.
the track record speaks for itself. Why Fields over Wilson in your mind? And that's going to tie into a question that Joe has for you. But a lot of Jet fans, they love Zach Wilson. Some of us think that it's because a lot of people just, they missed on Mahomes and they think everybody is now Mahomes who has a rocket arm and display. Why Fields over Wilson for you?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I watch Mahomes a lot at Texas Tech. I don't think that Wilson has quite that level of arm. Obviously, he makes some insane throws and, you know, sort of the difference is there. You see the thing where he's sort of like, you know, drifting off to the right and he can hit a guy, you know, across the field, you know, on the sidelines, you know, whatever. He does have the ridiculous throws, but I don't think it's the same caliber as Mahomes. I also don't think he's quite as athletic as Mahomes. I think it's unfair to make that comparison. And I think if you're just looking at the gifts, Justin Fields has quite a bit more than Zach Wilson. Justin Fields, people seem to forget this because he's been with Lawrence the entire time. And now Zach Wilson jumps up, but Justin Fields is one of the highest ranked dual threat quarterback recruits of all time. I think he's two behind Vince Young, and he just so happened to come in the same class as, you know, the number two pocket passer, number one pocket passer recruit of all time and Trevor Lawrence. So by comparison, he's always had sort of a weird time because you had Trevor Lawrence is already playing and Fields had to sit out his first year at Georgia, didn't get on the field very much, obviously, because he was behind Fromm and Easton, et cetera. And then he transferred. But I just think in terms of the tools, in terms of the ceiling, Zach Wilson can't touch Justin Fields. It's just a different level of thing. And Justin Fields' arm, by the way, it's nothing to sneeze at. I don't know if you guys were watching the Clemson game in the semis, but this is a guy who had an injured throwing thumb. He had his ribs had just been shattered to, you know, been put in a blender by James Skalski on that targeting thing. He was throwing dimes 60 yards downfield after halftime, like in the face of oncoming rushers, you know, stepping up between them and then just throwing dimes downfield. That guy has a cannon and he can play through injuries as well. So for me, it's a thing about the ceiling. I don't think that Zach Wilson can get as high as Justin Fields when you talk about NFL ceiling. And that's what I'm shooting for. Justin Fields has also done it against top competition here, not just in his college years. He has been viewed as a prodigy going back to his high school days. Zach Wilson has for approximately the last 2 months, and he played a BYU schedule. I like Zach Wilson a lot, you know, for a lot of the reasons that you were mentioning, you know, the creativity, the arm strength, all that sort of stuff. But for me, Fields and Wilson, it's a different thing. If I'm two and I'm taking a quarterback, I'm taking Justin Fields.
And I will say, because I can never pass up an opportunity to tip my hat to Vince Young mentions, but right before the semis, James asked us in our chat, he was like, what are you guys expecting from Fields today? And that was the exact phrase I used. I said, it's a Vince Young-esque game, Vince Young versus USC, that kind of game, right? Because I think when you look at a guy like Fields, and James mentioned this, because James will tell you, he was a little harsh on Wilson early on, right? And he's tried to soften it because he doesn't want people to call him a Wilson hater. But there are things that Fields can do on the field that I do not think Wilson could do yet. And I think for me, I think if I was a new head coach, 5-year contract, trying to line up my contract with a rookie coming in, I would hitch my wagon to Fields. Joe, what's your question for Thor?
Yeah, Thor, thanks for coming on, man. I have to admit, I did Twitter stalk you a little bit, trying to get some insights into your draft perspective. And I also caught this interview you did with Sports Daily, where you discussed Trey Lance. You talked about how Lance was undervalued coming out of college and how teams even wanted to play him at defensive back. You know, a lot has changed since then, and Lance is in the first round conversation, and deservedly so, and we're big fans of him here. But I am curious how you see it from your perspective. Is Lance once again being undervalued this time by the mainstream draft community compared to Fields, and specifically Wilson, who seems to be the Jets' Twitter favorite right now?
Yeah, I think like if you were doing like a stock check, I think it's probably fair right now, because I think right now Lance is being viewed as the QB4, which I think just in terms, like if you're just looking at the resumes, right, like of these guys, you know, and you're sort of comparing it analytically against sort of the quarterbacks that have succeeded in the past, I think it would be fair to put Lance's resume, you know, in terms of sort of draft stock coming in at number four. So I do think that's fair. But the thing with Lance is his ceiling is as high, you could argue his ceiling's as high as any of these guys. So I think, you know, if you're looking for an undervalued thing, you know, aspect, that would be it. But he's clearly a boom or bust prospect. Like, I'm not afraid that Lawrence is going to bust. I'm not afraid that Fields is going to bust. I'm a little bit more concerned about Wilson just because we only saw it for, you know, 3 months there. But, you know, but his bust profile is not as high as Lance's either. With Lance, the thing that you're going to have to grapple with and reconcile with as the franchise is you're going to have to accept a much higher bust profile, which we don't have those jobs. We don't get paid millions of dollars to be, you know, the head coach, offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach or whatever. But for those guys, that's, you know, in the GM, whatever, that's a big deal for them, obviously. And so, you know, Lance, you're talking about a guy who basically has an unprecedented draft profile coming in. Like, we very rarely see redshirt sophomores enter the draft, right? Like, you have like Michael Vick, Sam Darnold, our boy that we just talked about. There's a couple others, right? But like literally a couple others, especially when you're talking success stories, it's very, very rare. Trey Lance is entering the draft as a redshirt sophomore from the FCS when he did not play more than one game in his sophomore year because of COVID, right? So he's only started like whatever it is, 14, 15, FCS games, not FBS, FCS games. There has never been a quarterback taken in the first round that has had that little live, you know, experience against lesser competition. So he has the tools, you know, the upside of any of these. I think you could compare him favorably to Fields. The athleticism is similar. The arm strength is similar, et cetera. But again, we just haven't seen it for very, very long, obviously. And Lance's redshirt freshman season at North Dakota State, you had an offensive system that was totally tailored around him. He didn't throw an interception all year, but they never made him put the ball in harm's way at all. You know, it was a sort of run first offense. And then, you know, Lance could sort of do his thing after that. And he never, you know, took the chance to put the ball in harm's way, you know, credit to him. But again, we haven't seen him in all these different circuits. Like, you know, Justin Fields, we got to see him. I mean, just these last couple games, we got to see him potentially having broken his ribs before halftime in the semifinals. We had to see him work through that in real time on the sidelines. Then like one play, and then he's telling the coaches like, no, I'm going back in. And then, you know, and then he gets to halftime and he obviously got his injection at halftime, comes back out. But like, we got to see a player like that go through all these scenarios against Clemson. And then in the title game, you know, we saw him in his career progression up to now. We saw him playing without half of his teammates when they were, you know, Ohio State's roster was ransacked by COVID, you know, in the latter stages of the regular season against Michigan State and stuff like the Northwestern game. So we've seen, you know, these guys, they've been in different situations, but with Lance, he's only ever been for that one season in essentially what was an ideal spot, you know, with just this dominant team that went undefeated. So it's a very weird profile. Like, right. No one can look at Trey Lance and tell you, like, I know exactly what he's going to be, because this is a totally unprecedented draft profile. Analytics couldn't guess it. A scout couldn't tell you. You just sort of have to, you know, throw it up there. You know what it is, which is this is a dice roll, you know, high upside, but obviously there's huge risk there.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
I like Lance because everybody raves about his work ethic. I think that what you saw, but you're right. He was put in a situation, which I mean, I think you want from all your coaches, where you're putting these kids in positions that they can succeed. But I will tell you, and this is something that I've talked about with folks. If he ends up on a team like Carolina that doesn't have to play him right away, that he can sit behind Bridgewater with those weapons, with Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, and that coaching, that offensive system, I think that's where you get that, what you're saying, that upside, because then now you're getting them, they're developing him in his system, they're catering the system to his skill set, right? Which is kind of what you want to see. It's similar to what the Ravens have done with Lamar Jackson, except Lamar Jackson was obviously a better his resume was better coming into the draft. But I'm interested to see where he falls, because I think he could be a guy that just really, if you draft him now, you're not drafting him for right now. You're drafting him for 3 years from now, where you have the best quarterback coming out of that class. Real quick, before I pass it back to Joe for his last question, Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer, Trent Baalke, any concerns about that? Because I'll be honest, I have not liked anything the Jaguars have done. I'm very worried about Trevor Lawrence going to Jacksonville.
Well, I'll say I'm not concerned about Trevor Lawrence at all. I mean, he's one of the best quarterback prospects that I've been doing this job that I've evaluated. You know, obviously you probably have to go back to someone like Andrew Luck, you know, in terms of coming into the NFL. I'm not concerned about him at all. It is going to be an interesting situation. It seems like, you know, for me, you ask about the concern. For me, it's probably more on the Urban Meyer side, or the expectations on Urban Meyer. You know, I just thought it was funny. You know, it's like NFL fans, it's like they don't follow college at all, or they don't even have the capability of noticing. Like, it was funny this year, like all the Cardinals fans were bitching about Cliff Kingsbury and like, oh, he's bad tactically. It's like, no shit. He was fired by his alma mater 2 years ago. He was fired by his alma mater 2 years ago. And then you hired him 2 weeks later. And now you figured out he's bad tactically. Yeah. Okay. And you know, in the same sort of thing here with like Urban Meyer, this is a guy who has walked away from his last two jobs, and he said it was health related both times. It just so happened that at both times shit was going down, right? Like at Florida, they, you know, at the time when his migraines started kicking up, and I don't mean to make light of it, because this guy does have a cyst on his brain, but the time when he chose to walk away from Florida was when they'd had like 23, 24 player arrests and things were going bad there. And Sports Illustrated had done this big story about how the culture of Florida was really toxic, and you know, it was probably Urban Meyer's fault and all this. And all of a sudden Urban started to get headaches, and then Urban had to walk away for the season, and then he was walked away full time. And now I'm not coming back to coaching again. Well, then the Ohio State job opens up. Well, who can turn down Ohio State? So he's got to come back. And you know, when he came back to Ohio State, it was like, you know, at Florida I learned my lesson. That's the SEC pressure cooker. You know, I'm coming up to the, you know, coming up here now, and I'm going to delineate, you know, the responsibility. So it's not all going to be on Urban, and things are going to be much better here. And so things did go well for a little while, and then shit went south with Zach Smith and the investigation there. And then Zach Smith tried to blow up his spot and tried to blow up Tom Herman's spot. And then Urban got suspended for those three games. All of a sudden Urban Meyer's headaches come back. Right. And then he's gone by the end of, you know, that year or whatever. My concern for Jacksonville is what I like about what they did, of course, is you've accrued all these different picks. You've gotten rid of all your salary cap obligations going forward. You're about to essentially luck into, if you want to look at that as luck, or they deliberately tanked their way into the best quarterback prospect of the last decade. And I'm not necessarily going to dog Urban Meyer as a coach. He's one of the greatest college coaches, I think, of all time. If you just look at his record, his winning percentage is absolutely stupid at the four schools he coached at. But it's a strange fit, because you have this one guy who is just sort of hell bent on winning, who seems near the end of his, I mean, doesn't seem, he just is near the end of his coaching career. And he has these health concerns, which again, seem to crop up when his programs start to go awry, which they have it at his last two spots. And now he has an NFL team, you know, to sort of manage this with. If you're looking at Urban Meyer as a long-term guy, you know, a guy that goes beyond his first contract, I think that's probably a mistake. And so for Jack, you know, if I was Jacksonville, this is the way that I think of it. If I was hiring that coach, you know, and it's like, okay, I got Lawrence, and I got LaVisca Chenault, and I got Shark, and you know, I got James Robinson, and you know, we have some of these pieces set up, and we're gonna have all these other picks in this draft. We have the most equity in the NFL. Like, I think that I would try to get a coach that would you know, I could project to maybe be there for 7, 8, 9, 10 years. If you think Urban Meyer is going to be there 7, 8, 9, 10 years, you're mad. And so now you're asking Trevor Lawrence at some point early in his career, he's going to have to change over coaching staffs and change over offensive coordinators. I don't think that's conjecture. I just think that that's a fact. That's a deal that Jacksonville has made. What the trade-off is that every place that Urban Meyer is gone, this is what he's awesome at. It seems like at the end of his tenures always end bad. The beginning of his tenures are always awesome. He's one of the great coaches in college football history in turning a program around year one. You know, they just jump up. You know, usually you have the fall down with the programs. His programs always got immediately better. And so I think that's what Jacksonville is banking on, that, you know, this year they jump up to, you know, whatever, 6 wins, 7 wins or whatever. And then the year after, now you're 9-10, and then you're a legitimate contender after that. Maybe Urban's thinking year 3, year 4, I can contend for a Super Bowl, and then I ride off into the sunset.
Right. And I think you make a really good point about just and in the AFC, right, with Mahomes, the emergence of Josh Allen, right? You have Lamar, you have Herbert, you have Burrow, who looked good before the knee injury. You need a quarterback, right? And the Jaguars, either by luck or by suck, they have found their way into, you know, again, because I think we all agree with you. There's a lot of Jet fans who, you know, when Trevor Lawrence was in the running to be here, he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. The minute we fell out of it, they were like, well, he's not really that good. I don't know. Because you got to rationalize it somehow, right? Sure. I think so before I let you go, we're now approximately 3 months before the draft, 3.5 months. Is Justin Fields the pick at 2 for the New York Jets, or do you think we get a curveball on draft night and it's Zach Wilson?
Well, I think if the Jets, okay, I'll put it this way. If the Jets are making the selection, I believe that it will be Justin Fields. And I think if they do anything else, it's a mistake. But I certainly think that the Jets, you know, from this point going forward, could absolutely rationalize going forward with Darnold and taking what's going to be an absolute buttload of picks to move down. And that may end up being the sage decision. We don't know the offers that they're going to get, but just from historical precedent, we know that is going to be a monster load of picks. That's something that you have to think strongly about. You know, Darnold just came out a few years ago. As you guys know, you're Jets fans, he has not had the weapons. And until this year, he didn't even have a functioning offensive line. I mean, now we're starting to get guys in there, but like, give Sam Darnold a little bit of a break, maybe, you know, and if in that trade, you know, I would also, you know, not just want to be able to, you know, if I'm trading down and I'm keeping Darnold, you're going to want to surround him with guys. And I think that there is a path to doing that with the picks that they have and the picks they could acquire.
Yeah. And I think, and honestly, that may not be what Jet fans want to hear. A lot of Jet fans have pulled kicked down the emergency door when it comes to Sam Darnold. I would be surprised if Douglas and Salah do that. But if the offer is a Godfather type offer, and then you're then like the Bills, where you're armed to going up and getting your quarterback next year if it just didn't work out, then I think that could be something to explore.
Yeah, and here, well, just one other thing, you know, on the other side of this, there's the thing of what we also don't know is, you know, if they have decided in their heads, like, we're going to take, let's say, Fields or Wilson at number 2, we also don't know on the other side what offers would they get for Darnold. So we don't know the offers that are going to be on the table for 2. We don't know the offers that are going to be on the table for Darnold. And you got to think about those guys. This is their job in that room that, you know, it's like Charlie Day in Always Sunny on the whiteboard. They're going to have all these different things with all their different 2 deeps, you know, and be sort of projecting with this pick, with that pick, we could fill this. I don't think, you know, this decision is purely going to be, you know, people in their head might want to think like, oh, it's Sam Darnold against Justin Fields. It's not that at all. It's Sam Darnold and a litany of other things, and this direction we go, or it's Justin Fields. We askew some of those different extra picks, and then we're going to go this direction now.
Roto World and NBC Sports are lucky to have you. I always support fellow bearded dudes, right? You see, Joe and I have it. James doesn't have it yet, but James is also very young. It will kick in within the
start next growing it, James. Get it going.
But thanks so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we can have you on after the Jets make their pick. And honestly, if they do pick a quarterback, we are all hoping it's Justin Fields too. So thank you so much for joining us, man.
Absolutely. Love the comeback.